Take my bailout, please.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It was a way to bolster bank books, get money into the financials so they could continue to lend it out and stay in business. But the government's Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, is troubling to banks who want to pay the money back. Uncle Sam says strings attached will ensure they really should give the money back. Today, we could hear about those strings. And reporter Tamara Keith joins us now from Washington. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
So what could banks find out today?
Banks could find out from federal officials how to repay TARP funds. And it's not just as easy as writing a check, because federal officials want to make sure that the banks, once they repay, don't need money again, you know, that they're strong enough to keep lending. And so they're going to put all of these requirements in place. The big one that we're hearing about is that reportedly banks may have to give up this Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation debt guarantee, which allows banks to borrow at a fairly low cost. The program was created last fall, and so far banks have borrowed more than $300 billion using the assistance of this program. And so for some banks, this added condition will make it tough for them to escape the TARP.
Who are we talking about here, Tamara?
Well, there are several banks that have been pretty vocal about wanting to get out. This includes J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs. They feel like being in the TARP is sort of a scarlet letter, and they didn't want in the first place. So they want to prove their strength by getting out.
So for those banks, Tamara, that needed TARP, why did they want out?
And not all of them do want out. Not all of them can get out. But these TARP funds came with all kinds of rules about executive compensation, all this other government pressure that the banks perhaps were not anticipating and certainly are not enjoying.
Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Tamara, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we get results of the bank stress test. But today we're hearing that Bank of America could need some large money to proceed as normal in this economic fallout. According to reports this morning, the government stress tests show B of A needs $34 billion in capital, triple what was earlier thought. Not a peep from Bank of America just yet. Stocks gave a little back yesterday. The Dow lost about 0.2%, closing at 84.10. NASDAQ down about 0.5%. The S&P 500 down about 0.3%. Asian markets mostly up today. Right now, European markets are up slightly as well. Looks like the Boston Globe will keep on printing for now. The newspaper and its largest union have reportedly reached a deal to cut costs. The paper's owner, the New York Times, threatened to shut it down if everybody didn't get on board. Congress is debating limits on interest rates and fees paid by credit card users. The bill, which could reach the Senate floor in days, has touched off a separate battle over the fees credit card issuers charge merchants. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Every time you use a credit card, the store pays a fee to the card company, and those fees add up, $48 billion last year, according to merchants. Consumer advocates like Ed Mirzvinsky at U.S. PIRG say two companies have a stranglehold on retailers.
MasterCard and Visa are so ubiquitous that if you don't take MasterCard or Visa, you will lose business, and that's the hammer that MasterCard and Visa hold over the merchant's head, and it's a very effective hammer.
But card issuers say there's no monopoly imposed on retailers. Trish Wexler is a spokeswoman for banks and credit card companies.
Most recently, there are a good deal of new entrants into the marketplace of PayPal or Revolution Money. The industry is growing and it is fiercely competitive.
Retailers, though, are asking Congress to give them more say in negotiating lower fees, which they claim would reduce prices for everybody. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
General Motors faces a government deadline at the end of this month to complete its restructuring or face bankruptcy. Part of the hurdle is getting bondholders to swap billions in debt for a small equity stake. That's part of the plan laid out by President Obama and his automobile task force. Now GM CEO Fritz Henderson is insisting the government isn't in the car business, but commentator Will Wilkinson says, yeah, it's obvious who's running the show.
I don't want to run the auto companies and I don't want to run banks, President Obama said last week during a primetime press conference on the fate of Detroit. He may not want to, but the Obama administration is effectively running auto companies and banks. And the president does get a bit cranky when he tells the private sector to jump, and it doesn't jump. In a rare flash of anger, Obama lashed out at several Chrysler investors who refused to sign on to the administration's restructuring plan for the automaker. The plan would have required senior investors, who are usually first in line in bankruptcy proceedings, to take big losses, while more junior investors, including the UAW, were offered rather more generous terms. The failure of the plan has left Chrysler no other option than to file for bankruptcy. But why is the president involved at all in deciding who gets what in the breakup of an auto company? Much of the American economy is in disarray, but the bankruptcy system isn't. Indeed, the U.S. bankruptcy system works really well. So why meddle when an effective, long-standing legal system can take care of it? This is the price of bailout mania. When the government gets its finger in every pie, who gets what piece becomes a political decision. We may want to trust our leaders to be dispassionate stewards of the public interest, but politicians, and our overempowered executive is a politician, will use whatever discretion is at hand to reward their constituencies. Justice wears a blindfold for a reason. Injecting political partisans directly into economic decisions when well-functioning, time-tested rules are in place not only chills the confidence of investors, but moves us one step further from the already battered rule of law and one step closer to the dangerous rule of men.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us. Check out our scratch pad with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.